It can sometimes feel like our head is a messy garden and we don't know where to start in cleaning it up. But mindfulness provides a framework that can help us to grow big, massive, beautiful cucumbers in our mind. Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. I hope you're happy. I hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal, Sean, and we are continuing our January refresh of the basics of mindfulness. If you're enjoying the podcast, then I would invite you to become a supporter of the show on Patreon. The link is in the description. There's lots of exclusive content there. Please do check it out. And a big thank you to John, James, and Patrick, who became supporters on Patreon. I really appreciate your support. One other announcement before we start, my new podcast Mindfulness for Gamers launches on the 7th of February. The podcast feed is set up so you can actually click the link in the description, listen to the trailer and subscribe. We'll be starting with 3 episodes on the 7th. It would mean a huge amount to me if you could listen, share it with others. I'm sure you know someone who likes games who could use meditation. Anything you can do to help, I'd be so grateful for. So please do email me if you have ideas for spreading the word and promoting the new podcast. In the heart of Robben Island, a desolate prison off the coast of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, a freedom fighter against apartheid, found himself confined to a small cell. He was incarcerated there for 27 years and faced a daily struggle against the terrible conditions of his imprisonment. In the harsh reality of Robben Island, Mandela looked for a way to cultivate hope in himself and his fellow political prisoners. He found this by creating a secret garden in a corner of the prison yard. In his words, "In my garden, the struggle for freedom took root." He was denied basic comforts, and existence there was bleak, but the prisoners, including Mandela, transformed a small space into a secret garden where they grew a range of plants to help supplement their meagre diet. In a limited space of the prison courtyard, Mandela and his companions grew a variety of plants, chilies, vegetables, even flowers. When they were out doing hard labour as punishment, they collected ostrich droppings as fertiliser. And it's not clear from the stories how he managed to keep the garden a secret. Maybe he slipped the guard a cucumber every so often. But the garden at Robben Island became a place of meditation, a classroom for political discussions, and a sanctuary where prisoners could momentarily escape the harsh reality of their incarceration. It was through careful cultivation and diligent actions that, despite the environment, Mandela and the prisoners at Robben Island were able to create a beautiful garden. And through the same diligent effort, we can do the same with our minds. It can feel impossible to deal with difficult thoughts, especially if we're going through a rough time. But even in very difficult circumstances, what will grow there depends on the seeds that we choose to water, meaning that how we react to our current experience, and importantly, that includes our thoughts, that can come to define whether we're walking the path of happiness or the path of suffering. The challenge is that while our mind is a really powerful instrument for creativity and problem solving, it can also become a double-edged sword. If we cling onto our difficult thoughts, dwelling on past regrets or anxiously anticipating the future, we can allow the brambles to take root in the garden of our mind. The chatter within our minds can contribute to stress, anxiety, and a kind of mental exhaustion. The very tool supposed to help us navigate and survive this crazy old world can turn into a relentless critic, creating a mental minefield fraught with self-doubt and turbulence. Basically, it's like having a state-of-the-art smartphone that can do all sorts of whizzy things, but also calls you an idiot and keeps reminding you of the most embarrassing moments of your life. In an attempt to escape what Mr. T would call the jibber-jabber of our minds, we can turn to various forms of consumption, whether it's binge-watching TV shows or scrolling through social media or getting your snack on, as I like to do. These habits are temporary distractions. They give us a little bit of release from that internal monologue. But even the most delicious cake doesn't address the root cause of the problem. Instead, they give us a little escape, a kind of a putting a band-aid on a deep wound. When we rely on consumption as a coping mechanism, it can lead to a cycle of avoidance, stopping us from developing healthier coping strategies and a mindful approach to our thoughts. And I think this is what puts a lot of people off meditation and mindfulness. If we're used to shutting out our difficult thoughts rather than accepting them, then it's going to feel pretty scary to suddenly sit down and start listening to what they have to say. We can become afraid of our own mind and start doing what it wants, rather than us being at the steering wheel. As the old quote goes, the mind makes a good servant but a terrible master. We can end up with our mind governing how we feel, rather than us seeing the mind for what it's supposed to be, a tool that we use to make our lives better. So how do we kiss and make up with our mind and cultivate a beautiful garden in our brain? Well, the first step is to separate ourselves from our thoughts. One of the core teachings of Buddhism and mindfulness is that as humans, we are not our thoughts. In other words, we're not defined by what arises in our minds. Instead, we are the awareness that observes these thoughts. I see the thought is not me. Understanding and seeing the true nature of the mind is critical to developing your practice. And this can be a difficult concept to grasp, as we sometimes can identify strongly with our thoughts and beliefs. We might believe that our thoughts are a reflection of who we are, or that they define our personality or values or culture. However, mindfulness teaches us that thoughts are simply mental events that arise and pass away in our minds. They're not fixed or permanent. They don't define us as individuals. By recognizing that we are not our thoughts, we can begin to develop a sense of detachment from them. We can observe them with a non-judgmental, curious attitude, rather than becoming caught up in their content or swept away. This can help us to develop greater resilience in the face of difficult thoughts or emotions. A helpful way to see it is like watching a storm from a hill far away, rather than being in the center of it. We can still feel the wind, but we're not swept away. It's also hugely important to look deeply into the thoughts as they arise. Every time we have a difficult thought, it's a great opportunity for us to gain insight into our suffering. So rather than letting it pass unchallenged, which is what we can do normally if we're not fully aware of it, we can observe it with curiosity. Instead of then being fearful of it, we can look into the roots of it. An example of mine is that I used to be bullied a lot when I was younger. So when I had a self-critical thought, it was then continuing what I had been exposed to in my youth. And rather than reacting with fear to the thought, we react with compassion for our past selves, where that belief was formed. If it feels comfortable, you can imagine holding your younger self in your arms, seeing their pain, offering them your support. And in this way, we can start to heal ourselves from the injuries of the past. The self-critical thoughts come less often, and they no longer hold the same power over us. If we were aiming for something, which we're not because we don't have goals in Buddhism, then it would be to practice equanimity towards our thoughts. And that means that we can observe them for what they are and accept even the difficult ones with calmness and composure. We don't allow difficult thoughts to sweep us away or unbalance us. It's not easy, it takes practice and persistence, but I can tell you that it's well worth it. So let's practice that right now with a guided meditation on our thoughts. I'm going to start with three sounds of the bell, and then the usual settling in introduction. I'm going to start, as we always do, by focusing our awareness and our posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into a nice upright position. Your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap. And we're just going to allow a gentle smile to emerge in our face as we enjoy the stability of our posture. And then expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body, noticing where you feel tense or relaxed. Becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin, and the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. Shifting that awareness now to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises. And that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be a happy thought about today, or a regretful thought about yesterday. Just sitting with each thought for a moment, allowing it to leave, and then gently and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness on the breath, noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in. Warmer on the way out. Breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing out. I know I am breathing out. In. Out. Breathing in, my breath grows deep. Breathing out, my breath goes slow. Deep, slow. Breathing in, I see that I am not my thoughts. Breathing out, I release, I let go. Separate from thoughts, releasing. Breathing in, I see my mind as a sky. Breathing out, I see thoughts passing across the sky. Mind as sky, thoughts passing. Breathing in, I notice and accept the thought arising. Breathing out, I smile to the thought arising. Accept the thought arising, smiling. Breathing in, I notice the thought passing across the sky like a cloud. Breathing out, I smile to the thought passing over the horizon. Cloud passing across sky. Cloud passing over the horizon. Breathing in, I establish myself in the present moment. Breathing out, I realize it is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. And as the guided meditation comes to a finish, just taking a moment to notice any changes in your body, noticing any areas of relaxation, any areas of discomfort or tension, and take an opportunity to stretch or massage those. Noticing any changes in your mind. And if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And just before we finish, your mindfulness homework for this week is to set a timer on your phone to go off each hour and check in on the thoughts that you're experiencing. With equanimity, so not judging them or viewing them in any particular way, just noticing that they're there, smiling to them. Notice a thought arising and see if you can attach a label to it. So, for example, it might be a happy thought or an anxious thought, just to help you to focus your awareness on it. And if you have time, then I would invite you to practice today's guided meditation each day of the week. And may you be happy. May you be peaceful. And may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slana, will ya? And I'll see you next time. I'm